Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Welcome to the show, gearheads. Man, we are fired up for tonight's show.
Yeah, ba-da-ba-doo.
We got a little bit of everything tonight. We had some MotoGP in action today, IndyCar. We got the winner of the IndyCar race, Scott Dixon, joining us in about 40 minutes or so. There was some Formula E racing, I think. What else?
It was a Frenchman who won. It's been a big day for France.
It has been a big day for France.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
That's John Massengill. That was Jonathan Green with the British voice. And Mr. Les Kaiser joining us all in studio. Good to be back in studio again, guys.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's nice to be back in Austin. And it was nice to have an event at the Circuit of the Americas because we've also had a great weekend of rallycross.
Oh, history. Man, the inaugural event. It was really cool. A lot of folks I was talking to, that was their first time to see anything like that in person. And, in talking to the drivers, it's just going to get better. So, hey.
Well, we're going to talk all about that in just a moment. Let me run down what we got on tonight's show. You heard me say we got the winner of today's race from Toronto, Scott Dixon, joining us, IndyCar driver.
Massive win for Scott. Yeah. This has been a really tight championship so far. It's far from over. And, of course, with double points at Sonoma. But this was a massive step forward for Scott Dixon.
Yep. And we also have some more clips from our interview with the managing director of commercial operations at Formula One, Sean Bratches. So we got some interviews.
The man.
Yeah, we have a full interview that we did with him in London up on our SoundCloud account. We just put that up this afternoon, and we're going to play some clips from that and some discussion to go along with that. And
yeah, there's so much in that. It's a 30-minute interview, and we went through so many different their mission statement, their vision, what was wrong, what was right, what they hope to do, what they want to do with the TV package, what they're going to do with the website, what they're going to do with Miami. It's all there. But in some ways, to edify it, if you've got time, listen to the whole thing. But I want to kind of deconstruct it a little bit and also, debate some of those things, whether, things that, this is a movable feast. And they are listening, our Liberty. That is the best part.
That is, in fact, that's not just us saying that. We've got another interview that you did while you were over at the British Grand Prix with Dan Knutson.
The top American journalist in Formula One, yes.
And he said the same thing. And that's kind of, to me, that's the theme of the new Liberty Media run Formula One is kind of, we're open for business, we're open to discussion, rather than the instant no you got from Bernie. So
I'll say this straight off the bat before we get to those. It's after 68 years of a way of doing things, you cannot change the world overnight. And they're not going to change Formula One. And I think it would be a mistake for them to completely start from scratch and just come in there with a bulldozer. And they're not, thankfully. They understand and respect the history. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of nuances, and we're far from out of the woods. The 2021 Concorde Agreement, that's a whole new ball game.
Well, if you are a fan of Formula One and you like what's been going on with Liberty or don't like it, you need to listen to this whole thing and you need to listen to tonight's show.
Yeah, so. And if you don't like it or you do like it, call us up. Tell us your opinion.
Yeah, call us up, 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5.
What if it was your Kool-Aid stand?
Exactly. Yeah, what if you had 8 million in your 11 lemon aid stand?
Yes, sir. I agree. All right. Well, let's talk America's Rallycross because the inaugural event here in Austin, we have this was a precursor to another world championship coming to Austin. But Jonathan, you know the whole story better than all of us.
Yeah.
Let's hear the, America's Rallycross. What's happening?
Oh, well, let me literally go back to the beginning. Rallycross as a sport began at Lyddon Hill back in 1967. And basically...
Lyddon Hill?
Lyddon Hill is just a place in England, yeah. But that's where the first venue was. Which is not important, but it was a breakaway from rally itself. In other words, it was a TV-made sport, and it continues to be. Rally is really hard to cover. Long stages, many miles, 3 days in a world championship event. And even today, even though it's brilliant now with technology and graphics and helicopters and so on, it's hard to get everybody inspired by it because you don't see the skills. They pass by you if you're in the crowd. Whereas this is effectively, the best way I can describe it, it's Supercross for rally. So you are in a stadium effectively, and you get to see the skills of rally, which is sideways, using torque, using power, using the best abilities of both the driver and the capabilities of the car, suspension, torque, brakes,
traction.
And traction. And in rallycross, we have both asphalt and dirt. So it's a combination of being good with plenty of grip and good with no grip. Mm-hmm. So that's why you've got guys coming from all walks of life, whether it be Scott Speed coming from, let's say, Formula One on NASCAR, to Ken Block, who is literally the king of Gymkhana, and Travis Pastrana, who, of course, has done X Games, you name it. So,
well, let's play a couple of these interviews because, in fact, I want to start with this first one you did with Fraser McConnell and James Rimmer. Why don't you set that up real quick?
All right, yeah. This is after the night was over, and of course, Dirtfish were the big sponsors of the event. They were the actual sponsors of the overall event. Let me put something else in perspective. So you've had the history, right? So then we had Rallycross, which started by IMG about 5 years ago, and they've been running a world championship for the last 5 years. And it's been South Africa, it's been all over Europe, but it's never been to the United States. And COTA, Circuit of the Americas, signed a 5-year deal with IMG to bring the world championship here. While this was all happening, though, GRC, which is what I've been involved in, Global Rallycross, the Red Bull one, came to an end. They just couldn't finance another season after several seasons. Great series in a lot of ways. Just for whatever reason, I don't want to go into the intricacies of it. It's just not around anymore. But the drivers, the cars, and the will to make Rallycross something special still exists. So thankfully, IMG picked up the ball and have now created, alongside their world champion, an American championship called America's Rallycross, ARX.
Awesome. All right, well, let's play this interview you did with Fraser McConnell and James Rimmer.
Okay, Speed City fans, I and ABC in because I'm going Jamaica style, because Jamaica, to me, have been fantastic. And that's just me talking, because I've got Fraser McConnell and I've got James Rimmer with me, who've just been part of the first ever American soil race, as it were, because round one of the American Rally Cross Series was held at Silverstone, but round two was held here at the Circuit of the Americas, and certainly a man who caught a lot of people's eye today, Fraser McConnell, making a name for himself in the 35 for Jamaica. How did you enjoy your first rallycross?
No, definitely great racing on the Dirtfish. I mean, the team was excellent. I mean, top class mechanics, top team. I couldn't be happier. We won two of our heats and won our semi-final, which was really, really amazing for me. And then got a little unlucky in the final. Got some bumper to bumper. Got used for some brakes. But all in all, a great weekend. Lots of positives taken away. So I can't wait to the next race here, and so I'll be back under the Dirtfish tent as soon as I can.
Congratulations again. James Rimmer, you're the perfect person to ask this. You've seen your teammate go so well. You were at Silverstone doing some commentary, of course not taking part because there was no ARX2, but now you've had a chance to get amongst it in the American Championship. Is it what you hoped for?
Yeah, it was. It was fun. It was fun being out here, but honestly, like, all the props goes out to Fraz and all these guys. I mean, he really turned a lot of heads this weekend.
Fraz, I like that.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Huh? I learned it this weekend. I was calling him Fraser for the longest time.
Fast Fraz.
No, but honestly, really, you know, my racing career has been somewhat brief, and it's been a transitional period into some other stuff. You know, I realized early on that racing was not going to be my career, but you know, we look at young guys like Fraz and people like that as people that are going to come up in the sport and are going to take over the sport and potential champions. So, you know, we're all really excited. We're excited to have these people part of the team. We're excited to have them under the banner again. Scott Anderson, Connor Martell, obviously. You can't just discount Connor. You can't discount any of those guys. But honestly, Fraser was amazing this weekend. It was great having his whole family here. It felt like a big family, and we had a blast, honestly.
And I think really just, first of all, Fraser, but I think it's great talking to the ARX2 guys because, yeah, Ken Block, Travis Pastrana, these are legends of the sport. But for you, this is a lifeline. We didn't know whether the championship would happen. It has happened. It's a future. You guys have got a really bright future to become household names.
Yeah, we're definitely excited to be here. I mean, it's been a really long work in progress. We were looking to be a part of the GRC, and then that fell through. With all that commotion with the series itself falling through. But we stuck with Dirtfish, we had faith, and I mean, I knew they would give me the opportunity to shine, and they gave me nothing but that this weekend. and it was really good for me.
Final word from James Rimmer, your teammate Connor gets
the
win here.
Please, what else do I have to say to you guys?
One more comment. You're off to Canada.
Are you gonna
win? Oh, come on.
This kid.
What about it? Canada?
Canada will be fun. Yeah, we're excited to go to Canada. I haven't raced there before, so, you know, new experience, new track. Always excited for that.
All right. From the two boys from Dirtfish, congratulations. You're listening to Speed City. Back to the studio.
Awesome. Yeah. Jonathan, that guy... he sounds like a fun kid.
Funny story. You kind of put two and two together when you say, oh, you're from Jamaica and you're fast. And I said, you ever met Usain Bolt? He goes, yeah. He said, we go quad racing together. I'm like, you're kidding me. And if you think about it, Usain, remember him and Hamilton? Usain was here last year with Puma. Usain could be potentially a rallycross driver down the road.
Isn't he like super tall? I don't know if you could fit him.
He is super tall, yeah. But hey,
anyway,
I was holding him up a few times. There you go.
He's super fast.
He is super fast.
You know, so I spent some time with Fraser as well. And, you know, we've been working with Make-A-Wish quite a bit lately.
Yeah.
And they were actually one of the chosen charities for this event. So a lot of fun. It was great to see it on the front of the Dirtfish team. Well, Fraser took a couple of executives for a ride.
Oh, really?
That was quite entertaining. They came back a little.
Oh, the girls.
Like, yeah.
Catherine and Jill.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
they had a wonderful time. So, I think it's great. You know, they tied it to the charity. But honestly, the rallycross is exciting. It's my first time to actually see the races. I saw them out testing a month ago and then again a few weeks ago.
And you did a ride yourself, right?
I did two of them. And, you know, I'll say... The phrase, the door slamming, dirt slinging, airborne excitement, that is perfect. That sums it up excellently.
You know, Jonathan, when you were talking about the history of the sport,
yeah,
is that it? This whole weekend we're saying how easy it is to watch and get into.
That's the whole design.
Yeah, because you said from the very beginning it was designed for television. It's right there in an arena size, and there's not a person on the planet that wouldn't go, "Wow, that's really cool to watch that." You know, because the car's going off jumps, going through dirt, and then asphalt. I mean, it's
and the essence of rally is taking a production car. Souping up the suspension, souping up the engine as best you can, but keeping it to a basically modified road car and going racing with it. Now, of course, once you get the manufacturers involved, it gets trick. But the world rally scene has been exactly that for many years. And in fact, it's open to a lot of amateurs. If you go back to countries like England and Scotland, you know, everybody's rallying at the weekend. And I know that's true of Texas too. You know, we have the same case. But this effectively puts that in a stadium for people to watch. We had Cars and Coffee there. They loved it. We had over a couple of thousand people who went to Cars and Coffee and then came over. Like you say, Make-A-Wish. I really do want to emphasize the fact that, you know, we talk about motor racing all the time and it seems somewhat flippant and somewhat adrenaline junkie, kind of chasing cars and having fun. And it is all of that. But there is some really serious stuff going on. Make-A-Wish, the veterans were there too, represented. Meals on Wheels were also one of the charities. So hats off to IMG, hats off to Make-A-Wish, hats off to Dirtfish for involving, you know, some very serious charities with some serious causes.
Could not argue with any of that. And, you know, there's also the technology side of racing and automotive.
Yeah.
I mean, really, there's a lot more to motorsport than meets the eye. So,
oh, yeah.
All right, guys, well, we got to take a break. You're listening to Speed City. We're here in Austin. And up next, we're going to talk a little MotoGP and a little Formula One. Back after these short messages.
Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Augusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35. Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done, or where you've done it, or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere on the radio.com app.
From BBC F1, you are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City.
The girls bringing us back.
Ah, oh, I can listen to Jenny.
I can listen to Brittany
all day long.
Hey, before we move on to MotoGP and to Formula One, I want to finish up with the America's Rallycross because yep. We have a couple of good interviews. Jonathan, you did interview the winners. Well, you were on the microphones all weekend. You didn't get to talk
yeah,
to
you
these
can
guys.
Hear my voice is a bit hoarse.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, to finish off the day, obviously the big stars of the day were... Nay. we don't have a sound effect for that. What's with the long face? So,
stop it.
I am a little hoarse.
That's terrible.
I resemble that remark.
And the producer's joining in now.
Good. Yeah, no, the big story, of course, was Travis Pastrana and Ken Block coming to help, effectively. Whether they'll stay in the championship, I don't know. I've got a feeling both of them may well, because I think they see the beginnings of something quite new and different and exciting. And in fact, the fans that came out yesterday in the hot sunshine, over 103 at times, just voted with their feet. They got out, they got in the stands, they got into the music and the commentary and enjoyed it. And they came over to the paddock. There was live band. They got their autographs. The autograph sessions, there were two autograph sessions. We were turning people away because the drivers had to get back in the cars. And so that's how popular they were. And I'm really, really pleased for that.
And I like the way, like you said, the music and everything. Yeah. They made this more of a...
It's a show.
Yeah, it was a show.
And of course, it's at turn 12, 13, 14, and 15 at the Circuit of the Americas. So it's a natural amphitheater. And they used a bit of the track and they used their own
it
circuit.
It worked great, didn't it?
And it's going to be perfect. A permanent circuit now. So if it's going to be there for, you know, they've got a contract for 5 years, but there's no reason why it can't grow and there could be more events. And it's going to be a big venue.
And Travis Pastrana, the guy who just beat Evel Knievel, that same guy, the one who was on television the other night.
Yeah, I spoke to him a little bit about that the other morning, and he was like, oh, that was just everything amazing to me. And he was like, you know, did you follow Evel Knievel? And I said, I dressed up. One year.
We all have the model, the wind-up model.
Oh, yeah. The SST zipper.
Is that what it was
racer?
Called?
SST.
Oh, yeah.
But he always used to fall over one way or the other. You had to weight it down.
No, you didn't do it right, man. Me and Steve Ronson used to sit at the top of the stairs.
Oh, there's a name.
Fly that thing down the stairs.
Well, I used to get a little bit of plasticine and put a match between his legs and then light the match and then see.
You added the pyrotechnics to your show.
I like to put on a show, as you know. It's right. Evil.
Well, let's play these interviews. Let's play this clip.
Well, I just want to, I'll play this clip because I'll tell you who won, which is Tanner Faust. And Scott Speed going at it again. Tanner Faust won the first event at Silverstone, and then it was head-to-head between the two VW boys here in Austin, but it went the other way. So the winner was Scott Speed. So we spoke to both Scott Speed, Ken Block, and Tanner Faust, who are the first three, and this interview comes from ARX.
The semifinal might have been a little hairy, but the final definitely was easy. You were in front all day?
It was not easy. I had to break 50 meters before the first two corners because I was getting plowed in the back by the 43. But to be fair, it wasn't too obnoxious, and we were able to fight it off. And then obviously our speed showed, and we had a relatively easy race from there on out. But for sure, the start was very stressful.
Who has anything for you guys in America's Rallycross?
Each other. I mean, honestly, like we're really strong. I think our team is the best team in rallycross. I mean, I think we're, you know, between the two drivers and Andretti and the support we get from Volkswagen in Germany, it's the whole package. It's not one thing, you know, it's like a good soccer team. You know, everybody has to work together and we have a very strong team.
So we're going to be waiting for you on the podium on the first step in Trois-Rivières in 3 weeks.
I sure hope so.
Ken Block, you guys had suspension problems all day. It was hard being your first rallycross race this season, but you managed to be on second step of the podium. Congratulations.
Yeah, pretty happy about that. Made some good changes with the Focus RS this winter. It's Steve Arpins and his team have just done a tremendous job. And yeah, we were battling suspension issues all day, but hey, the team fought hard, I fought hard. Stoked to be up here with the first race back with this car.
What do you see now for the rest of the championship, Trois-Rivières in Quebec, then back here at COTA?
Well, I feel like it can only get better. Like, if we got it on the podium struggling this hard, and I really like the Canadian track, so I'm looking forward to hopefully even doing better there.
Very good. Thank you very much. Congratulations. And we like the little drift that you did, the little celebration. I'm sure fans were very stoked, and they want to see the same in Three Rivers.
Scott was doing some pathetic donuts, so I had to show the fans what it's really all about.
Thanks very much. Tanner Faust, very hard-fought battle. You finally made it to the podium, but it took all you had.
I really did. You know, in the starting position I really had no choice but to go Joker first. It would have just been a huge crash in the first corner to try to follow Scott in. I had to just hope that as many cars as possible followed me into the Joker, but unfortunately only one followed me, so we were stuck behind the whole group, basically, for most of the race. Got by one, Subaru, and, you know, Ken knew I was coming. I let him know I was there a couple times with a little touch here and there, but... you know, the organizers are pretty strict on, you know, really punting somebody, so I didn't want to do that. But, you know, he did a good job of blocking the road, and that, you know, that's what he had to do to get between the VWs.
Good strategy call to split the two Volkswagen. You guys are really working teamwork. Tell us about how you see things coming to Trois-Rivières track. You know pretty well.
Well, when you go to the Canada track, it's really quite a bit bigger and longer. And I think you have to take a tire wear into account. The dust can be a little bit of an issue, and it's a very commitment-oriented track. I think the VW, the Polos over there, are quite quick. And, you know, they share a lot of the running gear that we have. And so I think the Beatles will be pretty quick there. But it's a great track. And the fans in Canada are epic. And, you know, they come out in droves. I mean, we appreciate everybody that comes out here, obviously. But in Canada, it's more of the same. And they come out, you know, they'll be cheering on Arpin. I'm sorry, Arpin. But, you know, we're going to have to work on that. But it's the fans in Canada are absolute ecstatic motorsports fans. So looking forward to it.
Very good. We'll see you in 3 weeks. Congratulations on the podium.
Hey.
All right, so that was here at Austin yesterday, but if you liked what you saw and liked what you heard, they're coming back. The World Rallycross, the big boys are coming back to Austin in September.
It's going to be massive. It's going to be the World Championship, the first ever time on American soil. We've got the World Championship, that's the World RX, and we've also got ARX, the America's Rallycross Championship, with both the supercars and the ARX2 cars, which you saw in action yesterday. So hopefully, they're lock, stock and barrel. They're going to Canada in 3 weeks for the next round. So we've had a round in Silverstone, which was part of the World Championship, which was run by Tanner Faust. Scott Speed has won this weekend, which means they're a point apart. So as it was in GRC, they're going head to head, the VWs again. But Ken Block's in the mix. So too are the Subarus. Les, like you say, I get your impressions. I've been around it for a while, but I love it.
I really liked it. I really liked it. And talking to the drivers, they were talking about what is going to become of the track. I asked him, I said, you know, they've made some changes. Is it going the direction you want? And he goes, and specifically Ken Block was like, yeah, it's definitely coming around. They're getting it set up. And so they've already identified that they want to add a little bit more of the jump to it. So I'm excited.
I said jump bigger.
Three more jumps, I say.
Yeah, and more. Bigger and more of them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's go round turn 15, 16, 17. Come back over the hill, past through the amphitheater.
I want to see the cars jumping over themselves.
Remember the LA Stadium motocross, supercross races where they would actually go up the stairs and make a U-turn?
They go through that famous stadium LA Olympics, remember?
Let's do that. Hey, but I've got a little
rumor. Last one to Bastrop to get a six-pack and back. That's what I think.
I've got a rumor that was going around the paddock.
When you say a rumor, is this something you made up in your head? Or
no, because all those voices spread it like crazy. Oh. There is discussion of a super moto race being combined with that rallycross race at the end of September. Ooh. It's the same style of track.
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
Stay tuned.
We saw the buggy also. That's sort of making its way as well. So lots going on. Anyway, World Championship coming here 29th of September, 29th and 30th. Go to worldrxusa.com to get your tickets.
All right, boys, let's talk some MotoGP. So Marquez had a pretty good day, having a pretty good year, having a pretty good career.
Yeah, and you know what? The first guy to greet him after the race was Mick Doohan, a five-time world champion himself with Honda. And it was kind of just almost, as I saw the two of them together, there was almost an acceptance that, yep, truly this man is as great, if not, as any of the greats that have been before. And yeah, he's one win away now from 100 victories in the Premier. He has annihilated 9 wins at the Saxon Ring. And then this guy's still a kid. I mean, that's what made me realize is I did Mick Doohan's career. That's where I started off in motorcycle racing. And he was such a legend then. Now, okay, he had a lot of injuries. And, you know, like Kevin Schwantz, you know, effectively forced to retire eventually. But by then, he'd got 5 world titles. This kid has got the potential to break all the records. I mean, we talk about, you know, we just watch Wimbledon and we see, you know, Federer and Djokovic and Serena doing amazing things in tennis. Well, this guy is doing his bit. He is the LeBron of this sport.
He's already number 6th all time.
And he's a kid?
Yeah.
He's a long way from 30.
Well, I'll tell you what.
He's one win away from Lorenzo, so.
Yeah, exactly. He's got Lorenzo in his sights. You know, I keep looking up, and it's the old man in me looking for Valentino to get there. And Valentino looked good today. I think he really looked good and showed his form at that track.
Yep, and there are going to be other tracks that I think Valentino will step up. And what I've been amazed with Valentino this year, particularly compared to previous years, is his consistency. He's been really much more consistent than he has been in previous years chasing a world title. And he's been in the hunt most years. And I think, you know, we've all got a soft spot because he's the oldest guy out there and he's done so much for the sport.
He's a heck of a nice guy.
Well, that's why it's amazing to talk in Marquez in these terms when you've still got Valentino Rossi racing him, who will go down in history as the greatest of all time.
Yeah. I mean, he's second in total wins. Who's it, Giacomo Agostini?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Agostini used to ride in 2 different series at the same time. So, yeah. But Ago, yeah, it's hard to beat Ago's record, that's for sure.
He was leading in both series.
Yeah.
What other less about today's MotoGP race?
To me, honestly, it was a bit uneventful, I'm going to say. It wasn't a spectacular run, but...
Especially for the Saxon Ring, which is known for spectacles.
Yeah. I mean, it's a complicated course and, you know, lots of left-handers. So there's a lot of tire management in this, which we don't really talk about a lot as far as turning. We talk about just the lifespan of the tire on the track. But in dealing with turning, this is a track that they really have to manage the left sidewall.
Huh.
Yeah. Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, we spend all the time talking about tire life, yeah.
I want to ask my Magnum PI friend here a question. Danny Pedrosa.
I wear a new shirt, and I'm now Magnum PI.
Well, you're wearing...
He's a fine-looking man who's wealthy.
I think you got that off
looking.
eBay. It came from... Magnum PI wore that shirt from eBay.
Yeah, that was the one... I remember the show. The dog got the shirt, ruffled it all up, and then gave it back...
I'm going to say anything about the
Danny
condition.
Pedrosa has retired.
How about that?
Was that a shock to you and the ramifications of what do you think? Because I know I've got my opinion.
I think he was getting beat up or feeling beat up in the shadow of Marquez. I think that really played a lot into it. And I think he just wasn't ever going to peak and beat Marquez on any consistency. And that's your biggest competition.
Yeah, but what of the future? Mm. Because the Mallorcan is a different kettle of fish. And what I mean is Jorge Lorenzo has got lucky again. And I say got lucky again. He had 2 world titles with Yamaha, has not had the homecoming he expected at Ducati, although he is turning around. But he has already decided that enough is enough, and he is going to pick up that vacant seat at Honda. But I wonder, 2 Spaniards in that team, and I know Danny was a Spaniard too, but Danny has always been number 2 in that team. Jorge is a two-time world champion, and he comes in there. His legacy is running out because he's getting older. How does that work? I don't see it working, and I think it'll be two separate Honda teams. And I do think that there could be some... If anything's going to destabilize the Marquez train, it could well be this move by Lorenzo.
Ah, very interesting, because... I don't see anything derailing that train.
All right, boys. Which is true.
Yeah, we got to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk about Formula One. We're going to have those clips. We're going to have the clips from Sean Bratch's.
Do I get the car?
All right, back after these messages.
The Austin East KOA Campground, just 15 minutes from Circuit of the Americas and downtown Austin, and just 2 minutes from the Travis County Expo Center and Central Texas Fishing in Decker Lake, featuring amenities for every style of camping, from tent sites to luxury RV pull-throughs and cabins, plus a pool, showers, and laundry. Nestled in tall oak trees on the edge of the hill country, all the pleasures of the Lone Star State await you at Austin East KOA. To make your reservation, visit AustinEastKOA.com.
Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done, or where you've done it, or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
I'm Cameron Bovier. I ride for Monster Energy Graves Yamaha, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, so we teased a little bit in the show.
Whoa. Just hold it. Yeah, check out Twitter. I get the
car,
though,
right? Why does he talk
like
a cowboy riding a horse? Whoa.
He is from Texas.
Oh, okay.
That's just common dialect.
Okay, go.
That's how normal people
talk.
Go
ahead, Magnum. Go. What do you got?
I get the car, right?
No, you don't get the Ferrari 308. It was a 308, right?
That's Knight Rider. He drives it.
308 or 348. Yeah,
no, it was either a 308 or a
308.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm about 90% sure it was a 308.
All right, you undo your anoraks, you two. All right,
we're going to talk Formula One because we've got this amazing interview that Jonathan went over to London and got with the managing director of a commercial operations of Formula One, Sean Bratches, right?
Yep.
And we've got a couple of clips from that interview. The full interview is up on our SoundCloud account. You can go to speedcitybroadcast.com and get a link to our SoundCloud account. But Jonathan, once you set up, we've got two clips here we want to play.
To be honest, the first clip is self-explanatory because it's how we started the interview. And I basically, Sean Bratches, to give you some backdrop, was with ESPN and was one of the, effectively one of the innovators and swashbuckling men that took ESPN to over a 30-year period to what it is today. And, you know, an incredible, incredible story. If you know the story of ESPN, there was no sports cable TV before ESPN, and they literally single-handedly did it themselves. So he's a man with a lot of experience, and as soon as I heard that he was involved in this, I knew that things would be changing quickly, especially from a visual point of view. So one of my first questions to him was about why Liberty even invested in Formula One in the first place. What did they see? And this is what he told me.
First of all, how excited we are in America about what you're doing and the future of Formula One. But I know it's a huge endeavor. But give our audience a little bit of backdrop as to, you've almost spent a year kind of researching and getting to know the product that you bought into, and then this year getting a chance to, I guess, implement that vision. So take me back. You're an ESPN man and a TV guy like myself, so you're very familiar, because ESPN has had a huge history with Formula One. But tell us how you came to, and at what level you came into as a commercial chief to Formula One.
Yeah, I think Liberty acquired Formula One in January of 2017, and when we arrived, the season was basically baked. Right, there was 4 or 5 weeks in terms of the Grand Prix season starting. So there was a lot of things that we inherited that, you know, were somewhat immutable in terms of, you know, the 2017 season. But at the same time, you know, one of the Liberty acquired Formula One for three primary reasons. You know, first, it's an extraordinary global brand, got, you know, over 500 million fans around the world, and it had a pretty strong balance sheet. Secondarily, in a world in which technology is disintermediating the way consumers ingest content, sport, live sport in particular, is the only genre that on a predictable basis can aggregate large audiences. And there's certainly monetization opportunities, you know, as a result of that. And thirdly, was the perception that this was an undermanaged business. And I can attest to you that that is the case. You know, we have an expression in the States called bait and switch. When, you know, Chase gave me a call and asked me to come over, he asked me to come run the business. And when I got here, it didn't take me long to understand that there was no business. You know, there was no sponsorship group. There was no media rights group. There was no, you know, digital group, no research group, and no research, no strategy team, no events, no hospitality, no communications group. So it's been a, you know, really fascinating journey for me to not only, you know, come to an extraordinary global brand, but also have the opportunity to assemble a team, a staff, which I think is a great edit in the business, to create a strategic vision for a brand such as this to take it to the, you know, to the next level. And we think there are many levels that this can be taken to. And in some respects, you know, we're moving this from the Sears and Roebuck catalog to the internet overnight. So it's been an extraordinary ride. You know, there's a lot of wood to chop, but I think we've made a lot of progress to date.
You know, Jonathan, this is so exciting for us to be able to get this interview with him and hearing from the horse's mouth.
I was going to say, we've been waiting, and that's why I'm excited about, and I'm going to keep running clips of this because I do think our audience are hungry for this, especially is because we've heard a lot about Liberty. There's been a lot written about Liberty, good and bad. Some people like them, some people don't. You know, it's, you know, they're Americans, they're different from what Formula One has had in the past, and they've got a gigantuan job to do. They've got to literally save the sport from itself in many ways because the next Concorde Agreement is coming up, and yet they're making changes already that are tweaks, if you will, but they're massive tweaks because of what Sean just said, which was there was no business besides the motor racing business.
You know, and that's a great segue because you got another interview over there with an American, a longtime Formula One American journalist, Dan Knutson.
Yeah.
And I love what he wraps this interview up with. And I'm going to let's just play this because I want you to hear it. And we'll talk about it after that. Dan Knutson.
See, of just say no to everything. And the great thing about Liberty is they're saying, well, let's talk. They might say no, but they say, let's talk. We might say yes. They're open to negotiation. They're open to compromise. And that's the huge difference between this time now and Bernie's time, because in the old days, the teams just knew that Bernie would say no, and Bernie would get his way.
I was going to say, as an American, does that how have you kind of welcomed, if you will, the new change, the change of guard? Because, like you say, it is very different. Bernie had a way; it wasn't everybody's cup of tea, so to speak. But let's face it, he built one of the biggest sports and the biggest businesses, and made himself a lot of money, and the teams he made a lot of money too that still exist and are thankful for that money.
Exactly. I mean, Bernie, you can't argue with Bernie's business model. He made himself a billionaire. He made millionaires out of lots of drivers. He even let a few poor journalists scrabble through. But he had reached that plan, had reached the limit, it reached the end. It was a good system for 30 years, but that was the end. And so things had to change with a new regime, and that's where Liberty came in. Versus, you know, when Bernie was running it for CVC, and the sole purpose was just to make as much money in as short a time as possible, which it was great for them, but bad for the overall sport.
It's still early days for Liberty, but what have you noticed just being in the paddock pretty much week in, week out, that they've already implemented in their short time?
They're just more open. They're a little more entertainment-oriented. They actually let more people in the paddock, which is great. they still need to make the big changes, and that's going to be the harder, much, much harder things to do than kind of the window dressing they've done so far. Mm-hmm. And now that's what we're kind of starting to see, as you say, or the, with a new Concord agreement and so on and so forth. And that's where it's going to get a whole lot tougher for them.
Yeah, the big changes.
Yeah, I don't know if Sean Bratches would agree that it's window dressing because they've been working their butts off to make changes.
But in comparison to what they have to do?
And I see where Dan's going because he's looking at the bigger picture, which is the Concord Agreement. And that, of course, is the engine rules, the capping of the business in terms of money earned by the teams, making it more competitive, but getting the cars to have less downforce so they can overtake. There's a lot to do.
Yeah. And
you know, did you see that? Otherwise, I know Dan's pretty entrenched into the, but at Silverstone specifically, just because I know that's a historic British spot. It's
the
that really
home
cuts to the heart.
You know what? I could not believe the difference. I haven't been to the British Grand Prix in 10 years, and I could not believe the merchandise stands were packed. There was entertainment. There was a Ferris wheel. There was all sorts of activities going on outside of the racing, plus F1, F2, GP3, and even smaller Formula like Renault as well. There was so much to see and do. It really was a festival.
Well, that's great to hear. All right, guys, we got to take a break, but when we come back, we have Scott Dixon going to join us. Today's IndyCar winner. If you want to call in, got a question for Scott, call in 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5483. Back after these messages.
Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Augusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
The racetrack, it's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles, whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere with the all-new radio.com app. Check your phone's app store or visit talk1370.com/app.
Hi, this is Elena Myers, number 21, Moto America Superbike rider for Team 21 Motorsport and McGraw Power Sports Racing. You're listening to Speed City Radio.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, guys, we've got Scott Dixon, today's winner in the IndyCar race up in Toronto. Going to call in just a moment, but let's set up this today because it was a big race for the three Canadians that were in the race. James Hinchcliffe and his...
Robert Wickens?
Yep, his partner, his teammate, Robert Wickens. And who was the third?
Paul Tracy, but he was in the commentary booth.
No, there was one more actually racing. There was a third
Hinchcliffe.
Canadian... No, it was Hinchcliffe and Wickens, and there's one more. We'll look it up.
Hinchtown?
Yeah, the mayor of Hinchtown and James Hinchcliffe are both racing.
All right.
You got Hinchcliffe, right?
It's okay. John lives in his own little world, but we know him.
I guarantee you there was a third Canadian racing in Toronto today.
There was. Somebody will correct us on that.
That's right, John, there was.
Can I hit him?
Listen, the race was good. It was a very important race because with five races to go, the championship is on a knife edge. It was close after Road America. If you remember, Rossi's been closing the gap. Power's in the hunt. Dixon's been leading the way, but it's been nip and tuck. But today, he really did make a big change to, I think, 62 points. Now he leads. And that is significant because even though there's always double points for Sonoma, and that's where they finish the championship, so there's always a chance that it'll go down to the wire and probably will again this year. But he has taken a significant chunk out of what was becoming a real five-way tussle, simply because Rossi, Power, I'm trying to think of the other one, Newgarden, excuse me, had problems. Newgarden was pole position, just narrowly beating Scott Dixon to that pole position, but he made a rare mistake. And I think Scott will allude to it because he basically at one of the restarts touched the wall and it basically put him all the way back and he had to fight his way through. Rossi was changing wings like there's no tomorrow. I think he had six pit stops in all.
Yeah, he was on a six pit stop strategy, I think they said from the beginning of the day.
That's usually not one that wins, but it was. All of it was quite interesting. You know, it got so slick. The marbles came up so bad early in the race. And guys were slamming walls and each other and everything through that. And so I found that really interesting. I didn't expect that they had repaired and cleaned up the track a lot from last year. It was a lot smoother in some of the places. You didn't see cars getting off the ground so much. And so kind of surprised that it was eating up and chewing up the tires so much and leaving the marbles on the side.
We've got a breaking news, much more important. Matt, our intern, he's looked up some research for me, Jonathan. Apparently, there were three Canadians. Who was it, Matt?
Yeah, guys, it's Zach Lamondomello. He's the third Canadian.
Who is it?
Zach Lamondomello. He's the third Canadian.
See?
Clamato?
No, that doesn't count.
Because you didn't know it?
No, he's from the French side of Canada. So, Clamondomello?
Okay, oh.
All right, I stand corrected. I apologize. I am bowing to the maple leaf and your great wisdom.
I just heard somebody else say it on the television company. We did get word Scott Dixon is calling in just a moment, so we are going to have him on the race. But you said something about Rossi a while ago. Obviously, Rossi's, I think, fourth in the championship still.
Yep.
But he's not looked great, or is, you know, not necessarily he's not looked great, but the team hasn't performed
as
well.
He had a tough day today, I must admit. Some of which was not his fault.
But he did come from the back afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's driving superbly. There's no question. The thing about I've learned about Indy in the last few years is, you know, you can drive the wheels off the car every weekend and still not win a race. Look at Wickens' season. Look at Ryan Hunter Ray's season. The beauty of someone like Scott Dixon is he manages to stay out of trouble. He was in trouble today. He was actually behind Ryan Hunter Ray for a long time. And it was losing him 2 seconds a lap at one point. And so, you know, but he didn't force the issue. And I think that's the difference between Scott and maybe some of the drivers is that, you know, occasionally Wickens certainly was very aggressive today up against Simon Pagenaud, who wasn't having it. But yeah, a very significant race around the streets of Toronto this weekend.
What about Connor Daly? You know,
really pleased for him.
Yeah, I am too. And I just wonder, it seems like he's obviously, I liked his quote today when he said, I always come to the track with my helmet.
You know, I love that.
Never know who's going to race
for. He's
like
the super sub, as we call it in soccer now the World Cup's over.
But is he going to spend his whole career like this outside the, you know, is it that he's not good enough?
No, he is good enough. And that's an important thing to know if you're questioning that. He was 13th today with a team with no data. That don't run Indy every
one
weekend.
Car.
One car. He jumps straight in, like you says, have helmet, will travel. It's really impressive, to be honest. I hope it doesn't mean that he's only going to, you know, we used to talk about Rossi's career this way in Formula One. Is like, is he going to be Caterham and almost ran every weekend? And now look at him. You know, he's living large. The thing with Connor is a classic simple scenario that he doesn't have the money to go racing. He doesn't have backing to go racing. So it all is cap in hand. Hey, sponsor me for the 500. Can I get a result? Sponsor me for these. I mean, Jack Harvey doing six races. He's got Sirius XM behind him. You know, but how did he do it? He met, you know, he met them one morning. You know, it's kind of like that's what happens in this sport. So,
you know, and but this is the same story. I remember Connor coming to the very first USGP in Austin in 2012 and going, man, if I could find a sponsor, if I could do this, it's like he's been.
Well, he was a GP2, GP3 driver.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to get him driving for Lyft.
He was, yeah, there you go. He was on the Formula One
Rallycross. That's where he needs to be.
I tell you what, he wouldn't. He would have a lot of fun, that's for sure.
I want to get them all down here. They'd love it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
What about Zach Veach? This
he's not
kid?
Canadian.
He's not
Canadian. He is not Canadian. I've asked Matt, and he's told me categorically, he's brilliant. I love him.
Did you see it that one stint right after one of the restarts? He passed like 8 or 10 cars, maybe not that many, but maybe it was 6 or 7 cars in 2 corners.
The question I'm going to ask guys is, are least parents going to realize that he's racing Indy? Because he really shouldn't have left the house when he did.
He does look like he's about 11. We've both said the same age.
Spoke shave.
Yeah, he does look like when he's
tiny.
I was like, is this somebody's?
But I love him. He's full of it.
He great. Takes, yeah.
He did a complete 360 in qualifying to get across the checkered flag.
Yeah.
And did get the qualifying time in.
On purpose?
No. He actually bounced over the curve.
He went hard into the apex. Went over the inside berm and looped the car spinning backwards across the line.
Okay.
3-point degree of difficulty.
Yeah, the old spin and win Sullivan move.
Do you remember that we're waiting on Scott Dixon. We don't have much time. I hope he gets to call in. But remember the SW, the guy here in Austin?
Oh, yeah.
He's come back to New Zealand.
The famous TWS spin.
He was out at Texas World Speedway. He was giving this lady a ride in a Corvette, and he came off the transition where it was the old track to the new track, spun the car in a 360 and kept going. And then we got there. When she got back, she stepped out of the car, and I said, what'd you think of that spin? And she goes, oh, that was so great. I'm happy he did that for me. She thought he did it on purpose.
Scott's only late because he's gone to get his citizenship in Toronto. So he can become the third Canadian.
The fourth. I forgot the kid's name already.
Clamato, I think.
Clamato, no.
Tomato.
Let's just call the whole thing.
Scott, what else? A lot of the drivers are complaining about the offline marbles, how you got offline and it was a disaster.
That's what I really am surprised at. I wonder if it's not tire related. I mean, they did resurface much of the track. They smoothed out the bumps that were getting them airborne last year. They showed a couple of comparative shots of the Indy cars going through a couple of the straightaways, and some of them last year were really bouncing. This year they looked real nice and smooth.
All right, but we have Scott Dixon on the line. Very excited because we just got a couple minutes left. Scott, congratulations on the win today, and welcome back to Speed City.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on. It was definitely a good day for us. Can't complain too much.
Scott, we watched the whole race, and there were times where I was worried for you. There were so many stops and restarts, and you got behind Ryan Hunter-Reay, and he was, losing you a couple of seconds a lap. It was a touch-and-go day, wasn't it? It wasn't plain sailing.
No, these races are definitely never easy, and, the seas kind of parted ways after the first restart there with Joseph. You know, he got a little aggressive going into the last corner for the restart, and we were able to slip by. Later on, I think we had traffic, through periods, a lot of people trying different strategies, just trying to gain an advantage, over our fellow competitors. And, same with Ryan, he was caught up in one of those turn one accidents and was trying to make the most of his day. But yeah, I think we had almost a 7-second lead and that was evaporated to about 1 second over Pagano. But luckily he was, Ryan had to pit again and we were able to get some clean air and get set sail again.
Oh, man, this is why I love IndyCar racing. Today, it's like you had a great weekend, all weekend, Scott, looking strong all the way through practice and qualifying. And then at one point in the race, it looked like, Scott's going to wrap it up. And then it doesn't look like it. This is what IndyCar is so much fun right now. And it is great, great entertainment.
It's definitely high intensity, and you're right. There was a period today where I'm like, oh, this, it's looking good. I think we're going to be able to cruise here a little bit. And then something else gets thrown at you, whether it's a caution, a restart, some lap traffic, or even, somebody on a different strategy. So it's, the competition right now in this series is extremely crazy. It's just through the roof, and to try and, capture a victory is very tough. been lucky enough this year to grab three of them, and hopefully we can capitalize that on that during the season. But five to go now, and we're leading the points, but we've got to keep our heads down and try and make the most of it.
I was going to say, in any other championship with a 62-point lead, you'd be like, oh, cruise, but you can't because of Sonoma, double points. But they're making a movie about you. You got to tell me, have you got this, Scott?
Who's going to play you?
It's not my strong point, man. But it's a full-length feature film documentary. I think they're shooting for the fall release. It's called Born Racer. So it was exciting for me. It was something that we've looked at in the past, but something I'm not super comfortable with either. But I think the process of it and how they've shot it, and, what goes into racing one of these cars, and the family life, and I don't know. For me, it was really interesting to see the highs and lows, and just what everybody experiences through a race, because I'm in the car, right? I never get to see a lot of that stuff. So, yeah, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that you'll never get to see again. So, looking forward to that one.
Scott. Yeah, well,
three times you've earned a parking spot in front of Speed City Studio. Come on in.
That's right. I'll be coming in, man.
Scott, thanks a lot, buddy. We are completely out of time. Congratulations. Go enjoy the evening after a great win, and we will talk to you again, hopefully.
Hopefully soon, man. Thank you, guys.
All right, Scott.
All right, guys, well, we got to wrap it up.
And he's going to his favorite circuit next, where he never loses, so it's looking ominous.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely odds on to win the championship. All right, thanks for tuning in to Speed City tonight. Check us out on our website. Check us out every Formula One weekend. We do a national broadcast pre- and post-race. Go to our website to find out the details, speedcitybroadcast.com. We'll talk to you next week.
Adios, amigos.
Ciao, y'all.